So two fellows went out fishing in the Florida Everglades. And Charlie and George were fishing on a small creek when out of a dense thicket of grass charged the biggest, meanest alligator anyone had ever seen. Standing still in fear, George said to his companion, "He looks hungry. What are we going to do?" Charlie started backing away and said, "I'm going to run for it." "Are you crazy?" George says. "Alligators have been clocked at 30 miles an hour. We'll never outrun him." "I don't have to outrun him," Charlie replied. "I only have to outrun you." Well, today we have a fishing story with the apostles. And this was the third time the Lord appeared to them after Jesus was raised from the dead. So the disciples go out fishing. If you take a look at today's gospel, it's from St. John chapter 21. And the Lord, after he rose from the dead, told the apostles, "Go up to Galilee and wait for me, and I will reveal myself again to you in Galilee." So these apostles, there are seven of them that were gathered together, were waiting and waiting. And of course, St. Peter gets bored very easily. St. Peter says, "I'm going fishing," because that's what he did before the Lord called him. Bishop Sheen always commented, "Where did St. Peter get the boat? He probably saved the boat for a rainy day, just in case this thing with our Lord didn't work out." Because remember, Peter had said, "Lord, we have given up everything to follow you." And yet he still had this boat tucked away somewhere. So Peter got bored very easily. He says, "I'm not going to just sit around here waiting for the Lord to show up. I'm going to go fishing." That was his livelihood. So the other apostles say, "Well, Peter's the leader. Let's go follow him." So they all go fishing. And they go fishing, of course, at night when all the fishing was done. That was the best time for fishing. It was cooler. The fish would come closer to the surface. They'd be able to throw the net out. And normally that would be the best time to catch fish. And it says, all that night, they caught nothing. See, that is our life without Christ. It's empty. It's nothing. Without Christ, we have no meaning in life, no purpose in life. Jesus is the one that gives us meaning and purpose in our life. And so it's a great example. The apostles were doing their own will, and they wound up empty. They caught nothing. And of course, it was a very long night. They were very frustrated and very tired. The sun came up and they could see in the morning mist this figure standing on the shore, but they couldn't tell who it was. And what even made them more upset was this fellow called them children. And these were grown fishermen. And this man says, "Children, have you caught anything to eat?" And it says they answered him, "No." I'm sure that's the cleaned up version of what they probably responded. They answered him, "No." And so this voice, this little figure on the shore, says, "Well, just throw the net off the other side of the boat." Now, of course, the way the boats were designed on the left side of the boat, it was lower. So it was easier to throw the net over and pull it up. The right side of the boat was a normal height. People never fished off the right side of the boat. But they listen and they obey. And here is where Christ gives them blessings and abundance, because they obeyed in humility. And so they had been doing their own will by themselves without Christ and caught nothing. But now just one word from Christ, and look at the abundance. So they figured, well, we might as well give it a try. So they threw the net over the right side of the boat, and it's immediately filled up with fish. So much that the boat is almost tipping over. They can't believe it. And they never caught this many fish in their whole life at one time. Imagine that, 153 fish. But what happens is, of course, they remember that the Lord had worked these kind of miracles before, and It says, the one whom Jesus loved, that was St. John, the beloved disciple, looks and he says, he recognizes Jesus and says, it is the Lord. See, it's always the pure of heart that can see the Lord. As the Bible says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God, not only in heaven, but even on earth through faith. You meet people sometimes and they say, well, they used to be a believer, but after high school and after college, they lost their faith. How does somebody lose their faith? Well, many different reasons perhaps, but I think oftentimes it is because they've lost their purity of heart. They have lost that special virtue of purity, and because of that, there's this film in their life, and they can no longer see God in their life through faith. Well, it is John the Beloved who sees the Lord and says it's the Lord. But when Simon Peter hears it's Jesus, Peter's so impetuous, he cannot wait for them to row the boat in 100 yards. He just jumps into the sea and begins swimming as fast as he can to get to the shore. And when he comes out of the water, dripping wet, he sees something that is sort of very disturbing for him, and something that really makes him examine his conscience, and that is the charcoal fire. There's only 2 times in the entire Bible that a charcoal fire is mentioned. One is when Peter was warming himself by the fire and denied Jesus 3 times. Remember that? It was cold that night. They had arrested the Lord. They said, you're one of his followers. And Peter was warming himself at the charcoal fire. He says, I swear to you, I do not know the man. And 3 times he did not even know Christ. And now he comes ashore and he sees this fire. And he remembers what had happened the week before, a few days before, when he denied Jesus 3 times. And it says he couldn't stand it. So he went back in the water and he pulled in the fish. He wanted to get away from that reminder for the time being. So Peter drags, he's a strong fisherman, he drags this net of 153 fish. Why 153? We don't know. St. Jerome and some of the fathers of the church say that there were, back in those days, 153 different kinds of fish. And it represented the universality of the church. And here the first Pope, Peter, is pulling in the first catch of souls. These fish would represent the universality of the Catholic Church on Pentecost, and how all these people would eventually be pulled into the faith by the church. And it says the net did not break. So the church will last forever, according to St. Jerome. So this fishing net and the fish represented the large harvest of souls that would eventually come into the church through St. Peter and the apostles. And if there were one of each of the different kinds of fish, that would have been, again, showed the universality of the church. Again, it's just a reflection of some of the early writers of the church. So Jesus invites them to have a meal, and it says after the meal, Jesus takes Peter aside and he gives him 3 opportunities to make up for his 3 denials. He says, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? More than these other apostles, more than the fishing boat, more than all of these things? But notice we sort of miss the deeper meaning, because there are different words for love in the New Testament Greek. So when Jesus asked Peter, do you love me more than these? He used the word agape. So he says, Peter, do you love me with a total, unconditional, sacrificial love? And Peter responds, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. But Peter did not use the word agape. He used the word philios, which is, I love you as a brother. So Jesus says, do you love me above all things, totally, sacrificially? And Peter says, yes, Lord, I love you as a brother. And then Jesus says, feed my lambs, because Peter would be the first pope, the first shepherd of the church. The second time, Jesus says to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Again, agape, with this total sacrificial love. Peter responds a second time, I love you, philios, as a brother. And then he says, feed my sheep. But then the third time, Jesus changes it. He doesn't say, he says, Simon, son of John, do you even love me as a brother? Because this third time, Jesus himself uses the word philios. So the first two times, he uses the word agape. Do you love me totally, unconditionally, sacrificially? And again, the second time. But the third time, he lowers the standards and says, Peter, do you even love me as a brother? That's why it says Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him a third time, do you love me even as a brother? And he says to him, Lord, you know everything. You know how weak I am. You know that I love you as a brother. And so Jesus accepts that and says, feed my sheep. So he reinstates Peter as the first pope, as the leader of the church. He gives him the opportunity three times to make up for his threefold denial. He gives Peter the opportunity to show his love for him. And then he commissions him to feed his lambs, to tend his sheep, and to feed his sheep. And that's what the popes have done for the last 2,000 years, to care for the souls in the church. And then the gospel ends by a little prediction of the future. Jesus says to him, when you were younger, you could go about as you please. When you're older, someone else will stretch out your hands and dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. 30 years after this point, Peter would be taken to Rome and he would be crucified upside down. And then he would be able to truly say to Jesus, yes, Lord, I love you with total, unconditional, sacrificial love. So again, we see this beautiful story of St. Peter, how he had the opportunity around that same charcoal fire to be able to tell Jesus that he was sorry for denying him three times, and he was able to tell him that he loved him. But at that point, he was only able to say that he loved him as a brother. But 30 years later, he's able to say, I love you with a total, unconditional love.